Hey guys, welcome back to the Amber May Show. So glad you are here with me. I took a break over the holidays, but now I am back, and today I am going to introduce you to some friends of mine. I hope you really enjoy today's episode because we are going to be talking about how did they get involved, how did they meet. I mean, their story is really awesome. We're also going to be talking about school boards. We're going to be talking about financial systems in our country. There's so much that we talk about on this particular episode, so I hope you really enjoy it. Hey, and while you're on that website, if you would consider becoming an angel investor, that would mean so much to me. I am not produced by Big Pharma, so if you would become an angel investor, and you can donate right there on the AmberMayShow.com's website, or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber at the AmberMayShow.locals.com. I am always on Telegram. I add more content, and so you're going to want to be on my Telegram channel at the Amber May Show. So things that I might not broadcast, but I'm going to post it there. You're going to want to be a part of that. So find me, and we can carry the conversation more. So up next is my friends, Patriot with Grit. My friends, it's Patriot with Grit joining me today. Thank you, Darren and Randy, for coming on the program. I'm so excited to have you guys.
We're glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I want to know is the background. How did you guys all get started with doing a podcast? When maybe did you have that aha moment? I don't know who wants to start, but I'd be interested in learning your background.
Well, I was a business owner for like 30, almost 31 years. We sold our company at the end of 17. I had bought all the podcast equipment back in 2015 to do a business entrepreneur podcast, but I never did anything with it. I had it all, I just basically had all the mics and the gear, and I just left it in storage. And I knew I was going to do a podcast someday. I just didn't know when. And then I guess the day that started it for me was like February, March of 2020, when they started throwing masks on my girls for school. I was like, okay. I told my wife, I said, and she's in healthcare. I said, something's up. I smell a rat. Something's off. So I was asleep up until then. I mean, we were the typical, you know, raise the kids, go to public school, do everything the public school and the teachers tell you to do, you know, listen to the doctor, you know, went to church our whole lives. And I was a sleeping conservative, which I say today, our biggest concern in America is not left-wing liberal lunatics. It's conservative, comfortable Christians. And that's who I was. I don't know about you, Randy.
But. Well, I'll bring me to that point. So for all these years, I've not liked to talk politics. I didn't care because I didn't have any control over it. I had heard some things. I always knew that the government wasn't for the people. But I had a coworker that probably 15 years ago told me a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, you're crazy. And he told me, he got right in my face and said, you need to wake up. Because this is what's happening, and it's gonna come to pass. So in 19, somebody sent me, I know, Fall of the Cabal and some other stuff, and I'm like, this is everything my buddy told me. Now I can either think this is a bunch of garbage, or I can connect the dots because this makes sense. And from that point forward, I've been on a mission to learn as much as I can. And I don't even watch regular TV. I mean, I watch the Chiefs play. And that's about it, because I can't stand any of the mainstream TV. So
I bet you noticed that football player, what team was he on?
Buffalo Bills.
Yes. Just collapsed.
I saw a tweet today that said he was get 50% better. He was starting to breathe on.
Oh, that's great.
Thank God.
So at that
point, mainstream media misinformation. What?
Yeah. So at that point, I had been telling my wife, you know, I've never been in the military. I feel like I've done nothing for this country. And all of a sudden I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what it was. So people in our neighborhood were, as a joke, put out a neighborhood, wanted to start a group called the Anti-Maskers. I'm like, hey, we'll start this. We'll go door to door and give them scientific proof. And next thing I know, I asked people to come over to my house. I had three. Next week I had 13, and he showed up. I had no idea who he was, but we ended up knowing a lot of people that we grew up with in another town.
But let's phrase that. Three men, 10 women. It's mostly women in this fight.
It is.
I want to paraphrase that.
Yep. And it just came to a point that's like, man, we got to do something. We got to get a message out there. And I don't know how to do it. And he said, well, I've got podcast equipment. And I'm like, I can't do that.
So you guys lived in the same neighborhood and you found each other because of this group?
So we live in the same small town area. We're kind of in a rural area. And he actually grew up in a rural area.
Town of 900.
And I grew up very close to that town with the same city mailing address, but I never knew him my whole life until.
But we knew everybody. We knew each other's friends.
May of 21. So that's when he and I met in his garage. And, you know, and my best friend, you know, I've known since 1997, you know, after 9/11, he started talking about all this stuff. And he even went all the way back to, you know, to Waco and to Oklahoma City. And I'm like, come on, man. I mean, you're getting a little out there for me. And then, you know, we've been best friends now for, you know, 24 years or whatever. And it's just, we're in constant contact every week with stuff. And it just, the more that we all are exposed to and that we, you know, I mean, this is all I listen to and learn from now. I don't watch the mainstream. I don't watch Fox News. I mean, I used to sit there every night and watch Fox Business. And, you know, I lived by whatever they said. And it's funny because I was in an article today. I guess Laura Ingraham was doing an interview in the last couple of days with Lou Holtz. And Lou Holtz, who was a coach at Notre Dame, talked about, you know, all this, what's going on with, you know, this football player for the Buffalo Bills, DeMar Hamlin. And I guess he and Laura Ingraham were talking about this. And then all of a sudden, Lou Holtz made this comment on, you know, how many athletes, collegiate and pro, have just had sudden cardiac arrests and or deaths in the last so many months. And Laura Ingraham just cut him off and she was done. The interview was over.
And I gotta look at that.
My buddy told me today, he sent me a message, said, hey, you should try to find this and try to get it and record it. But so once Randy and I met, we started the first thing we did was started going to school board meetings locally. Then we started speaking at school board meetings, and this was May, June, July of 21.
Can I interrupt just real
quick?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Your story's fascinating, but you said something, and I don't want to miss out, okay, on what you said. You said it was like 3 men to 10 females.
Yeah.
You guys are male, so maybe you can help me understand. How come so many women are getting involved, or at least in the beginning, how come the men weren't getting involved initially? I mean, at least your perspective on that, because that's fascinating to me.
I'll let you go with that.
Well, you go to a lot of events. We go to a lot of events. We go to a lot of the same events. You and Randy and I go to the same events. Look in the audience. You'll see it's primarily 73% women, mostly probably average age is 55 and up, you know, predominantly white. And it's just kind of like the demographic. And it's I think the women are concerned about their kids, their grandkids. I think the husbands are still too focused on Monday night football and drinking beer and working. And I think that's why our country is still kind of in an uproar and in a mess, because the men haven't stepped up to the plate and done what they're supposed to do.
And
I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of how I feel. I'm like, thank God, you know, General Flynn and Clay Clark, they teamed up together, two strong men teamed up together to do a big tour. And thank God they did that, because I got to meet you and so many amazing Patriots through that event alone. And it re-energized me. But I think you're right. I think if we would have more strong men, because look at Jim Jordan. I see him as a strong man. I see my congressman, Andy Biggs, as a strong man. I see my other congressman, Paul Gosar, as a very strong man. They have principle and they stand their ground and they don't let anyone intimidate them. And I find that very, I don't want to say I'm attracted to these people, but it's an attractive quality. I mean, I'm not like romantically attracted to them, but there's a quality about it that it's very attractive, that you have strong men who have a moral compass and nothing that you can do can persuade them from their moral ideologies, and they're willing to stand up on it no matter what the opposition says. And So that was just fascinating that you said that. That was more women than men. Do you think it's changing? Do you think more men are now stepping up, or do you think it's still the same, or how do we get the men involved? Like, I don't want to divert from your story, because your story is very fascinating. The fact that a mask thing brought you two together and that you guys knew each other's friends, I think that's so cool. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we start with the school boards. It's the women fighting for the kids. Oh, there'll be absolutely a straggling few men come in there with their wives, but it's the wives that are putting on the terror for the school boards.
And they're the ones speaking.
Yeah, they're doing all the speaking.
The men are sitting back watching mama talk.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when it gets to the big events like Clay Clark's event, there was a lot of husband-wife, you know, couples there. It was a little more diverse, but I don't know. I have a hard time. You ask that question. Why aren't more men? And I can't figure that out, because not everybody is me. And we've had this discussion. I look at some of my friends and we can't even have our normal conversations because I'm in a different world now.
It's hard once you get out of the matrix, isn't it?
It is.
It's like, yeah. Sometimes I want to go back in the matrix because the fight's really hard and it can get depressing. And I have to remind myself that there's still joy. God is a God of joy, and he created so many good things. And some of the joy is my family, spending time with them, going on a vacation. So right now, even though the world is crappy and even though it's taken over by communism, I still have to pull myself out of that and say, hey, there's still joy in this world. And I got to remember that. Take those moments going out to dinner with your friends. I can still do that, because 2 years ago, that was forbidden.
Right.
We couldn't do that. Or even if you wanted to go, your friend was scared to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is something that we shouldn't take for granted, because the fear that came out of 2020 into 21 2 years ago was so incredible that it broke up friendships.
Well,
not broke up permanently, but at least no one hung out with each other.
Like, well, the commonality's been broken.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support by bringing you the pillow that started it all. Get my standard My Pillow, regularly $49.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Just like all of you, I've tried every pillow out there, and none of them worked. That's why I invented My Pillow. My patented fill adjusts your exact individual needs, helps keep your neck aligned, and it holds its shape all night long, regardless of your sleep position. So you get the best sleep of your life. Because it works, we've sold over 70 million MyPillows, and now I'm bringing them to you for the lowest price ever. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code, and you'll get my standard MyPillow for only $19.98. For a more custom fit, my premium queen for only $27.98. Or my premium king, only $34.98. My 60-day money-back guarantees it'll be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
This is Charlie Ward. Welcome to the Amber May TV show.
You are listening to the Amber May show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
I mean, I've lost friends. I've lost some family, not bad, but you know, my wife and I was talking about, we've made a whole new group of friends. I mean, we've lost some of our very, very best friends, some that we've gone on a cruise with, you know, they don't have anything to do with us anymore, which is fine. I mean, I've lost some friends on Facebook, but I've gained hundreds and hundreds more, exponentially more than I've lost. But getting back to your being attracted to Jim Jordan, I'm attracted to somebody in your
someone's gonna take that. clip.
Really, well, they could take this clip too, but I know you're in the great state of Arizona. I'm attracted to Carrie Lake.
She's great.
And you know why?
Why?
It's her voice.
She has a great voice.
It's her voice. It's her voice and her pit bull spirit. That's what attracts me to her. She's just
I wouldn't want to be married to her.
She's like a pit bull Doberman German Shepherd combo. And it's like
she is the sweetest woman. So let me take a pause from your story real quick, because I want to just show you how God is so cool. Okay. And how he's prepared me for such a time as this. And probably during your story, we're going to hear the same thing from you. We even did just a little bit of that where you got the podcast equipment and you didn't even know you were going to do a podcast on patriotism. But no idea, right? Okay, so this is how cool God is. Like, since I was 3 or 4, God has put it in my spirit to be a broadcaster. I've never wanted to waver on that. That's been like my passion. I went to journalism school. I ended up interning 2 semesters at Fox 10 where Carrie Lake was anchoring at night. Nice. So I was around her. In her work facility, I was in the studio. I saw Carrie Lake. I was right there. I was interning at Fox 10. Fast forward to today. My friends are in her campaign. I have been in events where she's at. I've spoken to her several times. She's been on my show. She is a kind woman. She's a strong woman. But not only that, if I go backwards and rewind the tape a little bit, just the people I've met, like through you, like with you, I met Clay Clark through a podcast. God made me watch the show. I had an argument with God. I had a million and trillion things to do. I didn't have time to sit and watch it, even though he popped up and he's like, I wonder who this Clay Clark is. That's interesting, Clay Clark. And God's like, you're going to watch it. And I met Dr. Artis through podcasts and Dr. Stella Emanuel, so on and so on and so on. And then here I am, meeting all the people that I was watching on different platforms.
Yep.
Like, that's how God was preparing. He wanted me to know who these people were because he was going to introduce me to them. And kind of like your story with Randy and Darren, where God introduced you guys together through the masks. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, our first episode ever was 2 local school board members in our local town that were running that were both conservatives. That was our first episode. And now we've had, you know, Clay Clark on, we've had Simone Gold on, we've had Dr. Artis on,
Tina Peters.
You on, just Tina Peters from, well, you know, Tina Peters.
I haven't met her yet.
Tons of people. And it's just, that's happened in like 8 or 9 short months. And that's but I was one of those people that I hated history and politics in college, high school, junior high.
Yep.
I knew nothing. And I still am a baby at all this stuff. But I mean, when that masking thing came about, that's what opened my eyes. And I knew I had to get out of the recliner and get my head out of the sand and get in the fight. And that's what did it for me was the mask.
Do you think, going back to my question about the men versus women, do you think men have been beat down so much through society that now they just don't have the fight anymore, or they don't feel like they could win, or that they're not valued? Like, would that play a factor? Because for so long, men have been beat down, and it means something to me because I'm raising a boy and I want him to feel like he is important to society and he has an important role to play, because I think men have value. Women have value. Men have value. Do you think that has anything to do with
I think men have been so drawn to their sports and to their late night news that it's just they've been so accustomed to that that's what they've been used to, and that's why they're not getting in the fight.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think.
And
I
mean, just from the witnessing of the school board meetings, the women have that, oh no you don't, they have that. The men are like hacked off, but they don't have that. And that's kind of, I mean, I don't have that.
I think men have the voice of God. So, like, I wanted God to give me the voice of God, but he gave that to men. So when I discipline my kids, they're not scared of me when I want them to be scared of me. And then I'll say, like, I'll tell my husband, like, hey, can you get after the kids? They're not listening. And then he comes in and, like, then the kids hop to it. Like, come on. I'm with the kids more. I would like that voice of God that he has, that commanding you know what I mean? Like, there's, I'm just the mom who loves her kids. I'm not scary. And then you have the deep voice that a man has that comes with authority that God gave them. And then kids just hop to it. Like, I feel like if you guys spoke, you have that in a different way than women do.
Well, this actually kind of segues and crosses up what you said about your senators.
Okay.
We don't have enough of that kind of voice in our federal government or anywhere, our state governments, our federal government,
county, school board.
Yeah, we don't have enough of that. And that quality that you just said is what this swamp needs to be replaced with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the Brunson brothers will do us a favor and get that cleaned out, and we'll get some of them people in waiting to slide into those positions.
Yes, I hope so.
I never knew, Amber, how backwards and how twisted our country and our communities had become until we started going to school board meetings. I never voted I only voted in presidential elections. And if I were to ever vote in a school board meeting, it would have been whoever signed, I saw the most signs.
Yep.
I mean, then we started going to school board meetings, and I was in shock and awe of what I started seeing with all these pretenders on the school boards. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, and I never knew the schools and the colleges were really big time left leaning and liberals. I never cared, you know, because I was too busy running a business and raising a family and making money. And then we go to the school board meetings, and I'm like, am I really hearing this? And then they start bringing in all the books that are, and then we start going to school board meetings locally where they're voting 6-1 to keep the books in the schools.
The sexualized books?
Yes. I'm like, is this really happening? I mean, 85, 87% of the people voted to keep them in. I'm like, this is absolute crazy town.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to go add on to that. When we saw that happening, it made me go, I my head about exploded, because I want these people, because you know the school board process is they don't comment. They can hide behind the procedure. Mm-hmm. I want to know why you voted that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get held accountable until voting day. And that's not enough. They need to tell us why they voted a certain way. And if they're way offline, we ought to be able to recall.
Well, and I never knew how the schools were shielded from all this. I mean, the teachers with their teachers unions and the schools with all the special interest groups. And, you know, it's just, we know a local guy here. Well, locally, he's 4 hours away, but he's president of No Left Turn in Education in Missouri. And I asked him one day, I said, listen, why are all these school boards and board members voting to allow all this nonsense, the books, the furries, the litter boxes, all this garbage that shouldn't even be in question? He said, because it's easier for the schools to fight the parents than it is for the schools to defend themselves against the special interest groups like the NAACP and the ACLU, because they know they will slaughter the schools when it comes to legal battles.
Yep.
Whereas they can push off mommy and daddy and not have to worry about it on a local level.
Is that because mommy and daddy don't have the deep pockets that these special interest groups have?
Probably not the power. We don't have the power.
And the schools know that. And they're sitting back behind their big desk at the school board meetings laughing, you know, knowing that they're. But I think there's going to come a reckoning.
Well, there is already, especially if more states adopt what just happened in the last session of Arizona. And praise God that happened, because I already knew going into this election 22, I wanted Carrie Lake to win. And if she was going to win, I was going to be so happy, but I was not expecting the win. I was expecting what happened, the shenanigans, the maladministration. I was totally expecting that to happen, and it happened, right? Is that to say to not vote? Absolutely not. I think you should still vote, because people died for you to vote. It is your God-given right to vote. And if you don't vote, then you just gave them the win without the fight. You know,
they didn't
you
have to work for it.
They didn't have to work for the cheat. Make them at least work for the cheat. So do I want you to go vote? Absolutely, I want you to go vote. That being said, had we not passed this law, and the law states now that parents can use tax-paid money, so my money that I pay for, okay?
There we go.
I can send my kids to any school, including private school, including homeschooling, and I could use that money and pay for tuition, pay for tutors, pay for curriculum. So now in Arizona, the public school is coming to a reckoning because parents don't have to send their kids to public school anymore. Prior to that, we had a program called Student Tuition Organization or Scholarship Tuition Organization. And what that was parents like myself could ask for you, Darren and Randy, to donate to my child. And if you donated money to my child through this organization, you would get a tax credit dollar for dollar from the Arizona state. And so basically everyone's winning because my private school tuition is getting paid for and you got all your money back.
So you're not paying taxes and paying tuition.
Right. So you're telling Darren, are telling me or telling the state that you want your tax dollars to go fund my kids' education. And so you had that power to do so. And so you got, so if you spent $1,000 and donated to my kid at the end of the year, when you go file your taxes, you get that $1,000 back.
So why wouldn't everybody have a donor kid to give all their tax money to?
Exactly. It's a win-win situation. So parents got to send, because I've been sending my kid to private school education because of, I was a public school kid, and I just know when I went to college, I was not prepared for college. I did not know how to form a grammatical sentence. And that is embarrassing because I was an A, maybe AB student, I can't remember, but I was a very good student and I felt like I was a very smart person. And so when I go to English 101 and I'm getting C's for the first time in my life, D's, I'm like, whoa, what just happened? I wasn't prepared. I was not prepared to write a sentence. So I had to go get tutoring. I had to teach myself how to write sentences. And then my grades went up to B's and A's from there. But I was so embarrassed. So I'm like, I ain't sending my kid to public school because I was not equipped. I was not equipped as college to be a college student. I was not ready for that. They did not prepare me.
I want to jump on this tax credit thing. Randy and I are in the great state of Missouri, which is a show me state. So I'm going to show you, Amber, real quick what we're doing. 4 weeks ago, I went to a reception locally. There's an organization here called the Herzog Foundation. And I didn't have any idea what the Herzog Foundation was, but it's a very wealthy family who started a foundation who they are big time proponents of public, private, and Christian school. So I said, I'm going to this reception because they had a kickoff deal. They had all these speakers there. And I just learned 4 or 5 weeks ago that in the state of Missouri, starting July 1st of 2021, Missouri state taxpayers, when you pay your state income tax to the state of Missouri, say Amber May owes the state of Missouri $5,000, you can take 50% of that and you can pay $2,500 to the Herzog Foundation. You can pay $2,500 to the state of Missouri. And that $2,500 that went to the Herzog Foundation goes to give kids private scholarships for public, private, and Christian schools. So on December 30th, that was the first time in my life where I've ever written a check for taxes that I actually enjoyed writing, because I actually wrote a check to the Herzog Foundation on December 30th, got it in the mail before the 31st. So now my Missouri state income tax for 2021, half of it will go to fund kids in private, public, and Christian private schools, and it'll keep 50% out of the coffers for the state of Missouri, and it'll keep 50% out of the public schools in the state of Missouri.
That sounds very similar to the STO.
Yeah, I didn't know about that.
You send it to an organization. That organization will send the check to the school, and you get the tax credit for it. It sounds very similar.
Yeah, it does. It's
absolutely excellent. Do that because you're going to be helping parents want to get their kids out of public school, and that's how you fight the public school system. Take their money because they only get money if your kid is in a seat at that school.
Well, I haven't told Randy. I haven't broken the news to Randy, so I'm going to break it to it on your show.
Am I fired?
But I plan on doing several shows promoting what the Herzog Foundation is doing in the state of Missouri, having people on from Herzog, having other parents who have taken their kids from public into private or Christian schools, because nothing I like better than seeing taking money away from the state and taking money away from the public school system.
It's now, had this not gone through last year, look at who we have now as governor, superintendent of public instruction. We have communists now running the state in the executive branch of Arizona. So had that gone through the House and Senate, and gone to the governor's desk, she would have vetoed it because it goes against the Democratic platform.
Absolutely.
And even after it got passed into law and Doug Ducey signed it into law, there was an organization called Save My Schools that tried to get petitions out and collect enough signatures to defeat the law. Thank God they lost. Wow. Thank God they lost. But it was a fight even after it was turned into law. And now parents that I know are asking me about this. It's called an ESA, Empowerment Scholarship of Arizona. I think it's what it stands for. Now parents are asking me about it because I'm a precinct committeeman. So I learned about that in our precinct committeeman meetings. I held signs and I was trying to educate the public. Do not do anything with Save Our Schools because it's anti-schools. Like when they say Save Our Schools, it's really saying don't save our schools. Like,
well, it's that political spin they put on things. Yeah. Hey, congratulations on being a committee one. Committee woman. I don't think you're identifying as a man, but
well, that's what we call ourselves. My wife,
as of last April, I told her about it. She's like, "What is it?" She's less political, less in history than I am, and that's bad. But I told her what it was. She went down, put her name in, and ran unopposed, and now she's the precinct committee woman in our county, our precinct area. So
that's great because now in January, I don't know about your state, but in January in our state, every county is going to meet. And when we meet as precinct committeemen in our county, and Maricopa is huge, we delegate who's going to be the state committeeman. And somehow that has to do with the state, I think the state Republican Party, possibly the Republican Party nationally. I'm not quite sure. I'm still learning my precinct committeeman. But I get a vote to see who's going to influence the Republican Party in my state and possibly nationwide. But you don't get that vote. You don't get to participate in the Republican Party if you're not a precinct committeeman, elected precinct committeeman. So that's really cool that your wife's doing that because now she's going to have a say in Missouri.
Did she say she's in Maricopa County? Are you in Maricopa County?
Yeah.
So you're in the hotbed of all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you're in the bee's nest.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take a step back and come and circle right back to this, what we're talking about.
Playing Jen Psaki.
Yeah, I am. I got to get red.
Circle back, Jack.
So, you know, in kind of our journey here, one of the things, like I told my wife that I'd never been in the military, I want to do something in this. Since we've been doing this podcast, we talked about the friends that we've made.
Oh,
I mean, we've got a friend that's a doctor that has left her practice. She's with America Frontline Doctors. We've just got this whole network and everybody's got their niche. We've got people that never really were in politics that are brilliant at it.
Oh, beyond brilliant.
And we've got emails and stuff coming in. So we've got this network, but the thing was everybody grabbed an opportunity to do something. So in this whole situation, we did this. Some people became committeemen. Tell the story about the guy across the street, Chuck.
So I have a neighbor across the highway from me. We live out in the country. And one day I was walking and he was mowing his yard and he's very political. I mean, very, very patriotic, not politically, very patriotic. I said, and he knew what I was doing and he's a big fan of Clay Clark and all this stuff. And I said, Chuck, why don't you become a committeeman? He looked at me. He's like, what's a committeeman? I said, I don't know. I just learned about it 6 months ago at Branson at Doug Billings event. So I kind of told him a little bit about it.
Oh, so Doug Billings held an event in Branson, Missouri?
A year ago this past December. Yeah, so 13 months ago. So I was there. I know he's one of your promo sponsors, the Commander's Artist, Mike mm-hmm. Maroney. So Mike Maroney did a presentation on how to become a committeeman. I'm like, what the heck's a committeeman? So I go home, April, May of this past year, I was telling my neighbor Chuck as he's mowing his yard. He's like, and I looked at him, I said, Chuck, you're 78 years old. Excuse me. I said, you're 78 years old. I figured you knew everything about politics, history, the Constitution, America. He looked at me. He said, Darren, I don't know anything about any of this. He said, I was too busy running a business, raising kids, making money. He said, I don't know anything about any of this. I said, well, you need to be a committeeman. He's like, what's a committeeman? I said, why don't you go to the meeting tomorrow night and listen to what a committeeman is? Because my wife's going to be there. So he went to the meeting. The next day went and put his name in the hat. Ran unopposed. So he and my wife both are now committeemen and committee women in our precinct. And here he is, 78 years old, and he's more involved now than he's ever been in a true American patriot fighter. And I'm like, it's taken people like that to get our country uprighted mm-hmm. to get headed back in the right direction.
So with that, you know, what I'm telling people is find out what your skills are. You know, mine is not to get up and talk politics and teach people about civics, but there might be some people that have a great background in that. But if nothing else, get off the couch and go to some of these meetings and find out what's really going on. You might find out, hey, I want to be able to say something about this situation. And you'll find out that some of these committees have rhinos on them.
Big
Republicans. So this is the thing. Look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now and McCarthy and all that. All of a sudden now McCarthy wants to go to the border. All of a sudden, like, how come McCarthy never went to the border before?
Yeah,
imagine that. I think it was the Arizona border. Maybe it was the Texas border.
Direct used car salesman.
Thank you. So what's been so frustrating with the American people is we have been in a facade thinking we really have two parties because the fake Republicans have spoke really well. You know, they throw everything out that we want to hear. Oh, we're going to go to the border. We're going to cut your taxes. We're going to fight for you. They say all the right things, right? And then they get to office and they do nothing and they hold everything as status quo. Because they're waiting for the Democrats to take over and do whatever the Democrats are going to do. It's a uniparty, so they're working in tandem. That way it makes the people feel like we have a two-party system when we really don't have a two-party system. Mm. We have one party, they're all in on it. And I was before the show, we were talking about FTX, and that's a very complicated situation. It's way more than Ukraine. It starts all the way back from a Chinese person buying a bank in Washington State. I mean, the thing is massive. Like I was telling the guys before the show, I have to write a diagram about this article that I'm reading about FTX because there's so many players involved. And that's just to show you that we've had the Democrat Party got captured early on in our like early 1900s with mafia crime syndicates. Mm-hmm. And then you add that with the Intel community, and it just made for a really bad situation for Americans. And so they captured the Democrat Party, and now they've captured both parties. And now they figured out the system called the Federal Reserve and the central banks the sad thing is like Congress doesn't have really control of the money. They gave it away in the early 1900s.
I didn't know anything about that until a year ago. Never knew anything about the Federal Reserve. And the only thing I know now, it's not federal and there's no reserve. So, I mean, it's so corrupt.
The central bank, which is also a part of the FTX thing with the central bank in Philippines. I mean, the thing is huge. This thing is massive and it has Virgin Islands and Epstein and so on. And so when they got the FTX thing, it wasn't a minor thing. It was massive. But the thing is, because so many people are involved, they're going to protect this guy somehow, some way. He's not going to sing and justice won't really be served. And that's what we're also realizing as Americans. It's a two-tiered system because the wealthy people, now they want the power. Now they're power hungry and they'll do anything to keep their power.
Well, the thing that I don't understand is, you have this Epstein thing. The Attorney General of the Virgin Islands just got fired because she was bringing out the bank's involvement with Epstein.
Of course.
So I don't watch mainstream media, the news. My question is, are any of them, are they covering this at all? Are they covering that the Attorney General of the Virgin Islands got fired because she brought up Chase Bank with Epstein's involvement?
Fox did in a written article, whether they're doing it live, I don't know, because that's the article I found was from Fox. But I don't know. Because I don't watch mainstream.
Right.
Why am I going to get lied to? I mean, I guess I could to find out what the lies are that are going on. But
well, I do that a little bit because if we see a big story come out in our networks, I go back and kind of scan through and see if I can find any news broadcast that'll talk about it. Usually you don't even find it.
Right.
That's true.
It's just, and my thing is, most conservative Americans, I feel like of the conservative movement, there's probably only about 20% of people that are conservatives that are all like us. I think most of them are, like I said, they're too consumed. I always say they're too focused on their Starbucks and their smartphones to wake up and see what's going on. I think most of them, of the conservative Republicans, I say only 20% about approximately know what's truly going on. The other 80% are pretend conservatives going to church on Sunday, still watching Fox News and playing golf.
I think there's a little strip of say 20% that kind of know what's going on, but they don't want to do anything about right. it. They don't want to invest any time in it.
Well, if it doesn't directly affect someone's pocketbook or personally, then they're just going to do what we've all been doing, raising our families, going to work, not feeling like we can do anything about it. But the thing that General Flynn is trying to get across is local action creates national results. And I don't know what's going to happen with the state of Arizona. I know the people here are trying to restore our elections. And I think that if you stop voting, then you just give them the win. And I don't believe in just handing over. It's like, okay, you want to talk sports? Let's talk about a sports game. Okay, let's talk about football. I mean, would you just, if you're on one team, are you going to just not show up so the other team automatically wins?
No,
not if you're hungry for a championship. I'm hungry for a championship. I'm hungry for free and fair elections again. I'm hungry for America without a central bank that's just bankrupted our country. So the central banks, they have taken the power away from God. Why are congressmen, like, why did they give up power? They gave up something so strong. They gave the power of the purse. Like, technically, yeah, they can still pass things and stop federal funding. But at the end of the day, the Federal Reserve controls, like, how much our interest rates are on loans. They control, like, inflation. They control so much of our life. And if they made it bad enough, they could take everything away from us if they made the economy bad enough to where we would lose our homes and lose our assets and things like that. So the Federal Reserve is really a bad thing for people in general because it's a private bank that prints money, American dollars, and they control the money. They control it, not Congress. Well, Congress can pass laws about money, but they control the money.
But the scary thing is, Amber, is most Americans don't know somebody's controlling the Federal Reserve. They think the Federal Reserve is just controlling everything in America, and that's why we're all just, inflation or deflation or, you know, what the interest rates are. But most people don't even realize who's controlling the Federal Reserve.
But here's my thought on it, too. It's not just the money. It's our freedoms. And part of our biggest portion of our freedoms are gone because they've enslaved us to debt.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm saying. The Bible says a borrower is servant to the lender. A borrower is servant to the lender. So all of us have become the slaves of the Federal Reserve because they put us in debt, you know? And so now we are beholden to the Federal Reserve. It's a corrupt, a really bad system, really bad system. And the American people don't know anything about it. They don't teach us about the Federal Reserve in school, that it's not run by Congress, even though the name says Federal Reserve. Like you said, it's not federal. There's no reserve. There's no gold backing it. The petrodollar is dissolving because of the BRICS nations, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and Saudi Arabia now. So we went on a tangent, but it's important to know that there's so much about the United States that's been captured that we don't realize until we decide to get involved.
Started just going to local events, just here and there. We go to local events, meet more people. And then I think we just got inspired to get my equipment out of storage and literally
get the dust off of it.
I wish I could show you the picture over here we have, but literally we have a whiteboard and there's a diagram that says camera with an arrow. It says record. And that's it. That's how we started. So I had bought all this equipment. I kept buying. After Randy and I met, I kept buying equipment because I love buying equipment and gizmos. But I was the person that always had the VCR blinking 12. I mean, I couldn't program my VCR if you had a gun to my head. So I had all this stuff. And we went through four people to come in to get this studio set up for us. And finally, it took a 21, 22-year-old kid that had been a guru in audiovisual to get us. Literally, he was here like an hour. He's like, oh, unplug this, plug this in. You don't need. So I bought all these adapters and gizmos and gadgets I didn't need. And, you know, because every person that comes in tells you to buy something else. So I bought all this stuff and it's still in boxes that we don't use. But so we just met and, you know, got it all working, got it all plugged in. And Did our first podcast March of 2022.
And I'll say that the first school board one, I was a nervous wreck.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought I had to have everything programmed in. I didn't realize how much I could edit. And, but I'm telling you what, it turned out pretty good for our first one.
Yeah. It turned out great.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
When you have your holiday, you could get the beloved cheesecakes. They're so delicious. I'm so excited. We have family over. We're going to enjoy this wonderful, delicious cheesecake. And if you use promo code Amber, you could save some money at checkout.
It was so delicious. I was only going to have one piece. But I had her cut it. I had her cut the piece just like the sliver. And I got to have three pieces.
What did you think about the cheesecake?
I loved it. It was really rich, really yummy. I had the chocolate, and it's very, very good. And I really appreciate you that we got to eat some. Thank you.
Hey, so when it's the next celebration in your household, or you have company coming over, or you just have a craving for cheesecake, make sure you visit belovedcheesecake.com. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout to save some money. That's belovedcheesecakes.com. Remember, promo code Amber at checkout. Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim Tewalt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Stamm, EPSWealthManagement.com. There you can go ahead and contact him and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading, because you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Stamm, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim Tewalt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you.
The information provided in this commentary is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. It should not be considered a solicitation to buy or an offer or sell a security. It does not take into account any investor's particular investment objectives, strategies, tax status, or investment horizons. You should contact your attorney or tax advisor. The views expressed in this commentary are subject to change based on market and other conditions. This commentary may contain certain statements that may be deemed forward-looking statements. Please note that any such statements are not guaranteed of any future performance or actual results, or development may differ materially from those projected.
We all like to support veterans and veteran businesses, so I want you to check out the commandersartist.com. His artwork is phenomenal, very patriotic. I think you're going to like it. And when you're at thecommandersartist.com, if you use my name, Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. So you can support a veteran-owned business that also supports the Amber May Show, and you get a discount at the same time. It's a win-win situation for everybody. General Flynn loves him, and he's a great friend to me. So visit thecommandersartist.com today. Use promo code Amber and save some money at checkout.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching the Amber May Show.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So then we started buying little software packages. We bought a software package to create our thumbnails, and Brandy bought a software package to edit videos, and it just kind of kept growing from there. And then we started meeting a lot more people. And then after every show, we asked people who else they would recommend for us to interview or go on their shows, and it's
the network has got pretty big.
It's better than multi-level marketing. I mean, it's the best networking opportunity we've ever had. So that's kind of how we got started. It's been a learning experience. I say it's way hard. I started my business in college in my dorm room on a payphone in 1987. And this has been way harder than starting a business from scratch in college. So
what was your first business?
I started a company selling fraternity and sorority apparel and party favors all over the nation.
Oh, wow. My aunt was in a business similar to that in Texas.
Yeah, graduated in 1990, hired a top-level catalog creative consultant company and put a catalog together, mailed a full-color catalog nationwide in August of 1990 to every fraternity and sorority in America, and it just blew up from there.
That had to cost you a pretty penny, man.
Yeah, but it worked. It worked out well.
So you got to invest money to make money.
Yeah, it goes back
to show you how far back it goes when there was catalogs and payphones.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I would take a catalog. So literally, I had my catalog. I was living in a duplex. I had my catalog. I had my phone line, fax machine. I would literally take phone call. I had an 800 number. I'd literally take 800 calls all night. I mean, we'd have drunk college kids calling us at 2, 3, 4 in the morning wanting to order beer mugs, shot glasses, and wine glasses. I'm like, listen, if they want to give me their money, I'm taking it. So,
how did you take money? Did they do a credit card over the phone?
Yeah. A lot of times it was their mom and dad's credit card, but it didn't matter to me. It still went through, you know. So they would call us like, hey, we need 50 or 100, 250, whatever shot glasses in Arizona State by Friday for a party. I'm like, let's do it. I'll be out the door in a couple of days. And that's how we built our business, on catalog and 800 numbers and fax machines.
So you and Clay have something in common. You both were entrepreneurs for a very young age.
Pretty much.
Is that how you guys met, through business, you and Clay?
I actually started going to his events in 19, way before he was involved with any of this political or patriot movement. I was going to his small business entrepreneurship workshops.
Wow.
So that's how we met and just kind of stayed in touch.
That's wonderful. Hope is not lost, number one. Okay. Cause my Bible says that the government is on Jesus's shoulders, which means God is ultimately in control of all this. And I feel like, cause he's bringing us together, that he is still moving and he's still doing, and he has a plan in place. And I have hope that he is going to free us from this oppression and destroy those evil people that are taking money and traffic. So how this cabal's started, from what my research has said, is you got captured by crime syndicates that dealt with also intelligence agencies, and then they would blackmail people through sexual blackmail, and then from there they just kept gaining wealth through blackmail and power through blackmail to what it is today. And so now we have a captured state. And if they all started turning on each other, that would be amazing. Because only takes one to start turning on each other, because they all have dirt on everybody else.
Nothing's better than seeing them eat their own. I mean, that's the best thing ever.
I hope that is how this all goes down, where they eat their own. But look at what we've come through so far. Nancy Pelosi doesn't hold the gavel. She is not in Congress. The Clintons are gone. The Bushes are gone. The Cheneys are gone. The Obamas are gone. They don't hold political office. Do they still have power? Sure, because they have money. But they don't have political office anymore. Nancy Pelosi's gone. Now they're fighting over who's going to be Speaker of the House. We have fought. We do not have masks right now. We all fought hard on that across the country. And it started with a few people in your little town. And you guys got connected, and now your network has grown. And that's how it happened in every state. It was a small group of community that got together and said, we're not doing this mask thing. Yep. We're not going to do this COVID thing. And then, look, we've defeated COVID. So small people like you and me end up making big impacts. And now, you know, we got to be in prayer, because in a couple of days, the Supreme Court's going to decide on the Brunson case. But if that doesn't happen, there's going to be another way God's going to move. I don't know how God's going to move, but he's using us. He's bringing us together. And that's going to be somehow, some way, God's going to move and do something. But what ideas, what tips, what would you tell the everyday person listening right now, what they can do to get in the fight? Because if they don't fight, are we going to win? I don't know. I think we need everybody doing something.
I would say not be afraid. I mean, Randy and I mean, my wife and I, and then Randy and like six other people, we were part of like 8 or 9 people locally to sue 7 school districts in federal court for masks. I'm like, you know, we stepped up, wrote a check to an attorney, filed federal lawsuit. And, you know, it takes people like that. But most people are like, well, I can't make a difference. I mean, I was that person 2 years ago. I was like, I'm not going to make it. What am I going to do? I'm one person. Of course, I wasn't even paying attention back then. But people have to realize that not to be afraid, not to keep their mouth shut, just speak up, speak out, and don't worry about what other people say.
Well, and I think the person's got to be bought in to what, at least not to our level, but to say, this is all wrong. And I would like to do something. You got to first say, I would like to do something. Now, I don't know what it is, but if I'm telling somebody, look for that, whatever you can do, ask around, you know, maybe it's, you're a graphic artist. Maybe you can make signage for candidates for free. You know, I mean, it
or funny political shirts.
Yeah.
Or put up billboards. If you have funding to do billboards, or if you own a billboard company, you could start putting billboards. You could put bumper stickers on your car. I think you should go to legislative meetings every month. It's once a month for a couple hours, once a month. Just type in your computer and find out when does, first you got to know your legislative district, and you could do that through your legislation, your state legislators or the Secretary of State's office. Once you find that out, then you can do a search on when does my legislative district meet. Then they'll tell you the time and place, go to those meetings, and sometimes your representatives are there. Like, so one of my representatives is always there, and then one of mine never shows up. And that just changed because my other representatives, we just changed districts. They would always show up. So in my district, now only 2 out of the 3 show up.
Well, we went to a meeting Monday night, and it's not even in our county. It's an hour away.
Yeah, we drove 45 minutes.
We go every month, pretty much every month. But we had an opportunity to meet the
Senator from Missouri running for governor.
Yeah, running for governor, but he's running against the other Republican candidate who is now our Secretary of State. And I would have never done that before. I've never met a mayor or a governor candidate.
Right. I say that too. I said, now I know senators and congressmen and representatives and I've never been in that circle before. So same here. Like, so I guess what we're trying to say is, if you have an idea, you need to do it, and don't expect someone else to do it. And you could do little things like we just mentioned, but you have, if everyone did something, and don't think you're not important, that you can't do something, because everyone can do something. If Martin Luther King never did anything, then we wouldn't have civil rights today. He was just one person, and he could have easily said, I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I can't make a difference. The nobodies and nothings do make a difference. That's the thing.
Well, look, so you mentioned billboards a while ago. Look what Robert and Jamie Agee have done with Banners for Freedom.
That's right.
It's Banners for Freedom, right?
That's right. Banners for Freedom.
I mean, look at the impact they've made with billboards all across the nation. Mm-hmm. Heck, they have their stuff showing in Times Square in New York City. Mm-hmm. And all speaking out about the COVID and the jab and all the nonsense. But, I mean, they've made huge, huge impacts nationwide.
So when General Flynn says local action makes national impact, the thing is, think about it. It's like a March Madness bracket. There's a lot more local than there is federal. So you get this army down on the ground, and my gosh, you can pretty well influence the federal.
But most people don't think that. Most people don't understand it's we the people. Most people think that it's, I'm a little peon person. I've got to pay attention to what my local, county, state, federal government says. And you don't. I didn't realize the federal government, I didn't realize FBI has the least law enforcement jurisdiction of any entity.
It's
your local county sheriff that has most power. And I'm like, the FBI, whatever the FBI says, if they show up, right. I invite them in and treat them. No, you keep them on your front porch and say, I didn't invite you here. Leave. And if you're not going to leave, I'm going to call my local county sheriff, Will Aiken, and he's going to make you leave.
That's
but most
exactly
people
right.
are scared to death of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which is uncharted, by the way. But that's another whole conversation.
No, that's correct. So you made such a good point. Your state law enforcement are the ones that have the most jurisdiction, because federal FBI, federal investigators can only handle federal crimes. Now, your state and local people are the ones that have jurisdiction throughout your whole state, whether it's a city cop or your sheriff. Those are the ones that investigate crime. Those are the ones who can enforce state laws. If you're not violating a federal law, then those federal investigators cannot do anything to you.
The thing that brought my attention to this is when the I think it was the FDA. They went into the Amish, like in Pennsylvania or Ohio, and did this big ring and just busted up their whole dairy and dairy cow ring. And, you know, basically demolished their operation and destroyed these people's lives. And they came back again, and the local county sheriff said, you do it again, you will be in jail in my county. Don't ever show up here again. And they've never bothered them since. And basically our local county sheriff says, you know, tell them to go pound sand. and that's the way it's got to have to be. But people are so scared and so browbeaten to the feds that they just think they have to just do everything they're told. And it's
been brainwashed to think is that the federal government has more power than the state and local, which
they have the least.
They have the least. And they're not even doing what they should be doing. And the main job of the federal government is to protect the United States. So I hope that the Supreme Court justices will realize there's a dereliction of duty. And the people that were elected in 2020 derelicted their duty, and they should all be removed because they are breaching their oath of office because they are not protecting the United States. The person occupying the White House is not protecting the United States. And I just hope, but again, if God doesn't use the Supreme Court, he's going to use another way.
I agree.
But the point is, we have to do something. Don't be afraid. I love that. Don't be afraid, because it's so easy to be afraid. And the Bible tells us so many times, don't be afraid, right? That's the main theme of the Bible besides the salvation message. Don't be afraid. And then do something. You got to do something.
Well, I always say people are afraid of the Fs. They're afraid of their friends, their family, their finances, and their feelings. They're afraid to speak out, whether it's in person, at events, on social media. You know, their friends, they're afraid they're going to offend their friends. They're afraid their family's not going to speak to them. They're afraid that, you know, their finances are going to be impacted because of, you know, their boss might fire them. And they're afraid of hurting people's feelings. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care about any of that. I mean, I don't have to worry about any of that anymore. And most people need to get over that fact that you don't have to worry about that. Just get up and grow some and speak out and make an impact.
So how can people get in touch with you if they're wanting to find out more about the Patriots with Grit show?
Go ahead, Randy.
Well, we're on a pretty much any platform. I shouldn't say, you know, all encompassing, but your basic Facebook, Telegram, Gab, Clout Hub,
Rumble, True Social.
That's the main ones we're on.
We're kind of on and off. We have a love hate with YouTube. We really have more of a hate than a love. You know,
we got our badge of honor.
Three strikes. You know, and
join the club.
So you just keep making new channels. I mean, but you know, we're getting ready to get on some other platforms based on your recommendations. You know, BitChute, Brighteon, Frank Speech, Odyssey. That's going to be on our radar in the next few weeks, next couple months, to get on more platforms to start doing lives instead of just recorded upload episodes. But you can go to our website, patriotswithgrit.com. You can join us or support us on Locals. And, you know, we're pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
So, we appreciate you having us on. This has been a blast. I tell your audience, I just think Amber's doing a great job.
She is awesome.
We met her a couple months ago, and she's fantastic. And people need to keep following people like you that are truth tellers and honest, godly people.
Thank you so much. That's quite a compliment.
All right. Well, thanks for having us.
Take care.
All right. We'll see you.
See you.